We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Your guess is as good as my cut on the categories Delicious Pizza and the Top 10 Jimi Hendrix Songs of All Times. We'll do Your Guess is as good as my cut after emails on our random question. Question 206-421-ROB.
Hello, Aaron. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room.
Random. Hola,
bitches. Hola. Are you in a tornado?
No.
Are you okay?
I'm doing just fine, Miles. How are you?
We're doing great. Let's see here. How about this one? What would you say is the most alcohol that you've consumed? And then what happened after that?
Because usually someone has to tell you what happened after that.
Come to mind, it was back when I was under the age. I drank a whole fifth of Jack Daniels.
To yourself?
By myself in about an hour.
Oh, my God. How old were you when you made this decision?
18, 19.
All right. That's about the age you make that decision. Mm-hmm. And what? How did things end up?
Well, it ended up with me falling backwards in a camping chair into a small pool of water. We were next to a river. And then my friends helped me up, and then I proceeded to pass out in our tent. And then I woke up a few hours later. Zip open the tent door just enough to stick my head out so that I could vomit all over the place.
And how long did this hangover last?
Well, I haven't drinking Jack Daniels since this day.
Okay, that Damn. Will do it. Yeah. Wow, man. If you even, like, smell it, does it just bring back the memory?
Every single time.
Man, oh man. Don't you wish you'd wasted that on, like, Yukon Jack or something you would want to actively avoid?
Would you drink a Jim Beam or, you know, a Crown Royal?
I'll drink Jim Beam all day long.
Okay.
It just cannot be Jack Daniels.
Gotcha, understand.
Just cannot be Jack Daniels.
Okay. I'm right there with Cuervo Gold on tequila. I'll drink tequila. Cuervo Gold, I just can't do. That was my kidnapping night, but the same kind of thing where it's like the smell brings back memories. None of the memories are good, except my buddy dropping his penis on his chick's forehead. But beyond that, none of it. It was a funny moment. It was great.
I mean, you know, people don't drink it much anymore, but Goldschlager was the one we drank in high school and just got so sick off of.
Yeah.
Anything with sugar. It just seems like those are the ones.
But I can drink, I've done, a Rumplemintz.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I can do Rumplemintz over Goldschlager, but for whatever reason, it seems like when Rumplemintz was broken out, we were all limited to two or three drinks for whatever reason. And when Goldschlager was out, we just drank it until we couldn't drink anymore.
What is the one that you can't get the taste out of your mouth? For me, it's Jägermeister.
There's Jägermeister.
If I do a shot of Jägermeister, it's like it's not that it's bad or it's not my choice, but if someone gives me one, I'm like, oh, I'll take it.
I can drink it.
A shot of Jäger.
It took me a while. There was a night working in restaurants and went to this bar almost every night after work called Mama's. It's back in Baltimore. And bartender knew us. Supposed to get paid in a couple of days, whatever. I roll into this bar. I ask for a shot of Jäger because at this time, I'm drinking Jäger as my go-to shot. And the guy's like, man, I want to hook you up. But look, you still owe me from the last time you were here, right? And I'm like, ah, God, that's right. So he says, look, I only have one shot of Jäger left in this bottle anyway. But he still owed me the bar tab. So he had another bottle unopened. And I kind of jokingly said, if I can finish the full bottle of Jäger by the end of the night, bar tab's got to be on the house. He's like, absolutely. We were kind of joking. Long story short, me and the chick I was there with, we finished the bottle. We, from beginning to end, we finished this bottle of Jägermeister in one night. I will say that the worst day I have ever had at any job was the following day because we got to open the restaurant. I mean, it's, I cannot explain how bad I felt and for how many days after that I felt. And I basically shut down Jägermeister.
That's probably
But as my friend said, they're like, it's not the Jägermeister. You drink a bottle of it.
I mean, I've had a couple trips to Vegas that, you know, the question was like, what's the highest amount that were just like I am not against having like a beer the next day, but like last time I was there, well, I was with you guys. So I was like, I can't. Miles was like, I'll buy you a beer. And I was like, no. Like, I am going to puke right now.
Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm going to get a beer. And I promptly brought it over and sat down and spilled it all over the table because I'm just
That's divine intervention. You're like, no.
The beer's saying, like, no, I'm not going inside of you.
Yeah, I definitely was there on a bachelor party once and just like I can't explain it unless you've been to Vegas and done a bachelor party. Like, you wake up like Sunday morning, I had scheduled a car. I'm just saying, all right, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I need to leave this town.
I tell you what, though. The one thing about Vegas is that I feel like if you need to go power nap or you need to go just get it out of you, mm-hmm. just sleep, even if you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning or whatever, there's still going to be something to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you're, you know what I mean?
But there's the problem because, you know, typically we're only in Vegas for about 3 days because as average partiers, that's about all your body can handle, right? But because you've been power napping at odd times and you wake up at 3:30 and you can still go out and party again, like, but to me it's worse than jet lag when you get back home, even at the same time zone, but it's like my schedule is so off because I'm sure I was doing things to keep myself awake at night. My chosen sleep patterns complete. In fact, the last time we went to Vegas, I think I went probably about 5 or 6 days without consuming any more alcohol, which might not sound like a big deal, but if you know me, like, I drink every day, mm-hmm. there's no question. 5 or 6 days straight, like, I don't even want booze. I cannot explain how bad I felt.
Sickening sweats, you know what I mean?
Just
alcohol, just like, feel like a little prune, just dry up, but not dehydrated.
And it's your own fault, and then you walk in the door, and the kids are still little, so they're real excited when you get home, man, and I'm like, just get away from me, stop hugging me, man. I am a toxin with a beard.
There's only a few towns like that, too.
Where else?
Portland. For some reason, for us, me, sure. I mean, Portland's one of those towns where if I'm going to Portland, like, we're going to Portland. Like, I don't know what it is.
But we do the same thing in San Diego. We have a problem.
It's not always that same level of...
Vegas
okay,
wants
San Diego,
to do
San
that.
Diego wasn't too crazy. Anchorage wasn't. Anchorage's pretty crazy.
Anchorage is pretty bad.
In New Orleans, you just know.
Yeah, but in New Orleans, there's one thing we do that we don't normally do, which is we ate, right? So you can drink all day, and you're drunk, but you're not stupid. Vegas, food rarely plays, other than our annual pilgrimage.
Vegas says we need to eat. You know, New Orleans says we're going to eat there, then we're going to eat there, then we're going to walk over there and try that, then we're going to eat there.
Yeah, yeah.
And beer's in between, so it's a little safer, but...
A little.
You know, but food is just right up there with alcohol as far as the priority list when I go to New Orleans.
Sure, but they balance each other.
It is.
Vegas, it's like, I know I'm going to get booze. We're going to hunt for drugs. And then food is, like, if Mike goes, hey, man, we're going to, where do we go? In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
We're going to walk to In-N-Out Burger in about an hour. Then I go, okay, that's my meal for the day.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, everything's wrong with that.
Reason we ask, what's the most alcohol you've consumed? And then what happened? In what appears to be a new record for extreme DUI, a motorist blood alcohol content was measured at 0.77. More than 9 times the legal limit. After he crashed his car following a short police chase Friday afternoon, according to Oregon police.
How are they alive?
Right!
Yeah. You don't know, man.
The driver, who's not been named pending the filing of criminal charges, was involved in a hit and run south of Portland. Upon locating the suspect vehicle, Ford Explorer, cops sought to pull over the driver, but he sped away. A short chase ended when the man, who cops describe as highly intoxicated, lost control of his car and crashed into a concrete barrier. He was subsequently transported to a local hospital for a medical evaluation, and a blood sample taken from the suspect was tested and showed his blood alcohol level was 0.778. The state of Oregon's legal limit is 0.08. Officers observed several alcoholic beverages containers within the vehicle. He is facing multiple criminal charges, was driving on a suspended license due to a prior DUI. Previously, the highest report in Oregon was a 0.72, recorded by an Oregon woman in 2007, and the 0.708, recorded by a South Dakota woman in 2009.
All right, now here's my question. And it's not that you want to celebrate this stuff, but listen, man, if you're not dead and that's your alcohol level, Does Guinness Book keep any of the dubious records, right? Because there's people like,
They just began to take those out.
Did they?
Take
them out.
They just started pulling those out. I read a whole article about all the different categories, like most beer drunk in an hour, or any of these things that would put the
person in danger.
Yeah, so they've basically stopped doing that stuff.
You know, we call that with the 16 and pregnant syndrome. Remember that show came on TV, and the idea was, hey, we want to let kids know, like, you're going to have sex, you're going to do your thing, but if you're going to have a kid, man, like, your world changes, understand this. And instead of having the desired effect, people were like, I'm going to get on TV.
You got to remember,
let's have sex.
You got to remember, though, within these pages are still the highest free fall from a tower into a foot pool of water.
Right.
So, like, you know, you think, all right, well, you know, they're putting some restraints in.
There are, but
there are some really ridiculous ones like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just don't try to, you know, power chug beer for an hour.
I think it's just a matter of what's more likely at your disposal. Like, if Mike calls, and the other thing is we might try to talk you out of it. Mike calls us, dude, come over. I have built a 90-foot tall apparatus in my backyard with a 1-foot pool. More than likely we're going to talk you out of it before you make the attempt. Like, Mike, I hear you, man, and I know it's a world record. But there's a lot of people that tried to break it, now they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
If we said chug beer, we may or may not even break the record, but we'll give it the old college try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's fact. Random. But I'm still trying to figure out the physics of that guy who falls into a foot of water and doesn't hit the bottom. You know? I know displacement and everything else, but still you'd think you'd hit the bottom of the ground.
What is the high? Can we find out how the highest free fall into a foot of water? I'm curious to know what it is.
It's crazy.
Because to me, if it's more than like 15 feet, it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, Atlantic City had the horse that used to jump into a pool too, right?
Wait, what now?
Back in the day, there was like the guy that would jump off in Atlantic City. I mean, I'm talking like way back in the day that would jump into a small pool. But wasn't there a horse, like the diving horse?
Oh, no.
The horse would get on a platform and dive into a pool.
I wonder if the horse knew that was the end of its journey. You know, because you sell it to the crowd like, here's the incredible diving horse. What we don't know is this is the 8th diving horse today because the other 7 didn't make it. You know,
that's a good point.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, liquor and horse.
All right, Rachel, welcome to the show. Your random question, since we were talking Vegas. Typically, Vegas, you come back with a lighter wallet or purse there, too. What would you say, how much money is the most that you ever lost, or you've just said, the hell with it, I'm just going to blow it, we're going to have fun? Like, whether you've actually physically lost the money, or you gambled, or you knew you were going to spend it, and you just realized, oh my God, that was a $500, $600 night.
To be honest with you, I've had a $4,000 night.
A $4,000 night?
Yeah. It was two nights together, but that was the budget, and we blew it.
What were you doing?
That was our first year anniversary.
And where did you go?
Actually, believe it or not, this it wasn't in Vegas. It was up here at Angel of the Wind.
Okay, and was it
a casino nonetheless?
But so was it mostly gambling, or I'm sure you ate like kings, right?
Oh, yeah. We ate like kings. We drank a lot because we were staying there. And then we just gambled the rest of it away.
Did you upgrade the room at all?
No, we really couldn't. It was kind of at the beginning of COVID. And they wouldn't let you do anything extra. Yeah.
I'm just going to sleep and shower there. So, like, everybody says, I need a view of this. Or I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I need a bed. And I need a sink and a toilet and a shower.
Generally speaking, and this is my approach.
Not that I don't like nice hotel rooms.
No, my wife feels differently than me. I go, wherever we're going on vacation, if it's a vacation, then the hotel room means the least to me because I plan on spending the fewest amount of hours there.
Don't get me wrong.
You know, like, we're in Hawaii, right? And she's like, well, I want to be at the beach. I'm like, well, we can go the hell outside. It's all around us, man. You can't miss it. And the thing is, we had a view of the beach, right? And we got a room that I was not pleased that we were spending money on. But we would get up in the morning and go, man, oh, man, there's the beach. And then 5 minutes later, I'm at the beach.
Right. Well, that's the problem with me. I walk into a room. It's a nice room. Like, oh, man, this is a nice room. And then I drop my bag and leave.
I think it depends on who you're staying with. Right.
Yes.
Again, like Vegas, right? Like, I've gone with a couple buddies where we were there for other reasons, like a sporting event. So we got, like, nice rooms because we were going to hang out in there and not go crazy. But I've also been to bachelor parties where it's like the room is just where you're putting the bag and where you crash.
Right, you're right.
Reason we asked, how much money did you lose or blow? A woman was literally blown away when she opened a birthday gift containing more than $100 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Until the helium balloon attached to the wad caught the wind and floated away. Nikki Walker, who is a mother of two, excitedly opened the wrapped balloon present sent to her by her mom, who could not attend the occasion because of COVID. But when she untied the box outside in her garden, she didn't realize what was in. She let go of the whole thing with the balloon and the money attached to the string, about $120. A video shows Walker jumping and trying to grab the personalized pink balloon, but she missed it by a few inches as it slipped through her fingers and floated up into the sky. The family can be heard laughing and shouting in complete shock as she puts her hand to her mouth in horror. It all just happened in a split second. I didn't have a chance to react. Everyone was just in total shock. I felt dumb at first. Sadly, they have not found the balloon, or if they have, no one has said anything, and they have nowhere idea where it landed after it took off from the garden on Friday.
So it was asked earlier if we could find the record for the highest free fall into a foot of water, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So the reason why this has to be a lot shallower than other jumps is because water doesn't displace it. It doesn't compress. So if you're going to hit a deep enough amount of water, you got to hit it with the pencil dive. You got to have your feet going first. But if you're going to do this one, the shallow dive, you basically have to belly flop your way.
Yeah, exactly.
So this guy jumped from a height of 11.52 meters, which measures out to 37 feet.
And no,
just into an inflatable kitty.
Oh, we're watching it right now.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the idea of being able to hit that perfectly.
How did it stop now?
Yeah, it just froze on us.
Oh, yeah, because it's showing you all the metrics and whatnot and the dimensions of the
pool.
It's basically just a little inflatable kiddie pool.
Right. You just got to hit it perfectly or you're screwed.
Exactly.
But that's the thing,
and the guy looks insane. They give you a close-up of his face, and he looks absolutely insane.
We got a few more stats. Wondered, who has the world record for drinking the most beers? Andre the Giant holds the world record for the most beers drank in one sitting, 156 beers or 16 gallons. The highest blood alcohol on record, and I think I remember this guy now, 1.48 by a guy in Poland. I think he may have gotten shot of the day at the time he did it. And finally, Ted, regarding the horse in Atlantic City.
Yeah, the diving horse.
Says, Ted, you're right. There was a jumping horse that would jump off of a platform into a pool of water. They made a movie out of it starring Uma Thurman when she was really young. And let's see, the horse jumping into a pool of water, Marlena from Ryan, Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Yep, Wild Hearts, that's the name of the movie. I had no idea that's what that movie was about.
Yeah, looking at a picture now from 1959.
Oh, let me see this real quick. Ah!
Oh.
I don't know if the horse like that.
Ah.
Random. As somebody that watches equestrian now, I'm not sure the horse is like any of them. But yeah, the horse does not look happy.
No.
There's some, like, old school where they're pushing him off and he looks pissed.
Yeah, but
he's just like, oh, what the hell are you doing?
Hello, Mick. Welcome to the men's room.
That's insane.
Oh,
Welcome to the random question. What do we got for you here? Let's see here. All right. You ever been married?
Yeah.
How was your wedding, and was it what you wanted out of the wedding?
Yeah. It was awesome. It was in the middle of nowhere.
Where'd you guys?
It was just our family.
Where did you guys get married?
Eastern Washington in Tulum. It was a little church that was in the middle of nowhere, and like, you would never know where it was.
How many people were at your wedding?
10.
Okay, perfect size.
Wow.
And did you have a reception afterward?
No, my ex-wife was about an hour and a half late to get there, even though her house was like 3 blocks away.
Okay, so did you guys like just have a nice dinner, or did you do anything afterward, or did you just go get married at the chapel and call it a day?
Yep, that.
Okay.
I got to ask, why was she 90 minutes late?
Ask anybody why they're 90 minutes late. They're getting ready.
Getting ready, yes. I'm getting ready.
Or having second thoughts. Are you guys still married?
No, unfortunately.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry to hear that.
90 minutes late.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the one day I expect you to be on time. Right, you know what I mean? Like, just this one day. Chances are you put it all together. I have very little to do with the planning process.
That day doesn't change the person who's wired to never be on time.
But here's the difference.
You know, it doesn't.
They are surrounded by the people that force their hand.
Okay.
Like, I don't need it. If you tell me the time, that's the time I'm going to be there. If you do need it, you feel like you're surrounded by the family members and all these other people that can be honest with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you're 90 goddamn minutes late. Let's get it on.
And I think that day does change that.
I don't.
For that day.
Maybe that day, not them in general. They're going to be
that day
prompt all the time. But right, like on that day, especially when you're the bride, like 90
like
minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
Right? If you show up 90 minutes to the job, and you get that phone.
As we celebrate 50 years of KISW here, the lovely Jolene, all right,
mm-hmm.
She would put a jar in the office where Ryan Castle and Hair Club were because it was a jar for being late.
Yeah.
So I think it was like $1 each time she was late for a meeting, whatever. So she puts in $20 and just says, hell with it. I'm calling it a day. I'm prepaying. I will never be on time. We go down to Vegas. Castle's getting married. Mm-hmm. All right. We go to this chapel. It's the Elvis Chapel. Do all that fun stuff, right? We walk outside and Jolene and her boyfriend are just pulling in at the end of the wedding.
Did we miss it?
They missed the entire thing.
Right, but that wasn't her wedding.
Correct. Riz West, how
that's
was your wedding?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's your wedding,
right.
Come on.
27-year-old guy just posted on Reddit about an issue he's having with his 26-year-old fiance. They got engaged, and they have different visions on their wedding.
Uh-oh.
She wants something formal and glamorous. He wants a Star Wars theme. Like, I'm serious. Stormtroopers to dance, groomsmen in Jedi robes, using Star Wars music for the first dance. His fiance is not even into Star Wars. Quote, she doesn't want anything Star Wars at our wedding at all. I suggested we could plan half the wedding. Like, she handles the ceremony, I plan the reception. She said no. The guy's sticking with it. This is my wedding, and I should get it to decide at least half the day. We share finances, so I'm paying enough to get a say in this, too.
Is that what you honestly think?
Pretty much every single person who commented on Reddit has taken his fiance's side.
I mean, look, do what you want. Just understand, on this day, it does not matter how much money you are spending. It ain't going to go the way you want it.
More of the Random Question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Let's say hello to Lisa. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Lisa, Lisa, welcome to the program. Random question,
random,
question.
Random.
All right.
Random.
Lisa, let's go with this one. Are you allergic to anything?
Oh, no, man, I'm not.
Thank God.
I get a boring question.
Why do you sound disappointed?
Well, because all the other questions were like making me die. Like alcohol, how much do you drink?
And then how much alcohol? How much alcohol have you consumed?
I drink quite every day.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll give you another question. All right, just for you. What was inside of you?
What was inside of me?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that.
I mean, other than men, we could pretty much guess that, but I mean...
Well, I've...
You ever smuggled anything?
No.
Tapeworm? Parasite?
No, I've had a baby. Does that count as a parasite?
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes, you had another human being inside of you.
And it's feeding off of you. You have to change your diet because it's in there lounging around.
Twice. How many? I even let it happen twice.
I was going to say, you had how many times? All right, and how old are your beautiful children?
They are 2.5 and 5.5.
So you're still in the woods?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, really, let's face it. It's the younger one. 2.5. And I don't know why they call them the terrible twos, because I found the threes and fours considerably worse than the twos.
Oh, this is so funny. They both are really funny. They are just hilarious.
That's why you drink every day, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. I don't drink in excess. I, like, leisurely. Because I'm not going to have a 0.778 alcohol level ever in my life. I will never be able to do that.
No. Yeah,
not and be alive.
What's amazing, though, is this is the first man to overtake that honor. The previous three record holders were all ladies.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's what? In you, man.
Yeah.
You have the ability, Lisa.
You can do it.
I don't. I literally don't. I can't. I wish that I could. I've wanted to just to see what it's like.
It's not. I mean, look, here's the problem. Having been there a few times, not at that level, but it's fun until you can't remember anything else that's happened. And then usually the stories you hear later, you were still having fun, but everyone around you is angry.
That's the thing. I can't bring myself to be able to drink enough to puke in the morning or forget much of the night.
Sure. Okay, let me ask you this. Are you a full-time stay-at-home parent?
No.
Okay. How hard is it for you to find a babysitter?
Oh, no, I have the family.
Okay, I was going to say, that was one of the most difficult things for me, you know, I mean, coming from someplace else, not knowing a lot of people, not growing up here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just that age where if you did need to get a babysitter, it was just the weirdest thing in the world. Like, I mean, it was impossible. And my daughter, she, like, actually went to a course.
Yeah, she got babysitting training.
You know what I mean? For all kinds of things, like infant CPR, they taught all kinds of different stuff, right?
Really?
Oh, yeah. So she was.
They don't teach that to us parents.
She was certified, man. Whatever that means. Anyway, when she got this done, there wasn't two nights during the week where somebody wasn't asking her. Like, even if it was a Tuesday, like, okay, you're booked on Friday, you're sitting with someone and spending the night on Saturday night. Okay, would you have any night open this week? And then they would, you know, Tuesday night. Like, we're going out on Tuesday night. We'll take you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, 3 hours. Just get
guess
us
what
the
I'm
hell
doing
out
tomorrow with Mike. We're going to the baseball game. Guess who's not going with us? The kids. Tuesday night babysitter. No problem. Any night that
you
got
one.
A good night.
You did get one, though.
Yes.
They're just hard.
We have this person basically on speed dial. Just pay her well, and she has no problem doing it. Mm-hmm. And the kids seem to like her, which to me is always a litmus test.
Reason why we asked what was inside of you, a Missouri woman has been 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to smuggling a loaded gun that was hidden in her vagina into a county jail.
All right.
Amy White, who was 39, copped to a felony indictment charge with delivery or concealment of a weapon, a .22 caliber revolver that was fully loaded with 5 rounds. In a plea deal, she was sentenced to serve a decade in the custody of the Missouri Department of Corrections. She is currently being held in the Women's Eastern Reception. She has previously done stretches in state prison. Initial search by the police failed to locate the North American Arms revolver stashed in her body orifice. A pat search of the jail was followed by a strip search, neither of which detected the firearm. While in custody, in lockup for 17 days, before jailers discovered the gun, which was wrapped in plastic among her possessions. In a probable cause statement, investigators say that she had removed the firearm from her body and concealed it within her personal belongings, which she admitted to. She said she was only holding it for another female detainee. Either way, she was in possession of the firearm, and she told them how she smuggled it in.
Crazy thing is, if you're wondering why she wasn't on profile this, she was on profile this about a month ago for that particular crime. This story is the follow-up, because she was arrested for something entirely separate. And then this story just came out like, hey, man, she got an additional 10 years because this woman who hid it in her vagina finally got busted with a gun in her vagina.
And the other story with what was inside you, after years of suffering some unexplained pain, Mandy Brooks discovered to her horror that she had a broken needle lodged in her hip, presumably left there after a surgery. She is just one victim of an alleged medical error. As far as the investigation, and this was in Canada, more Canadians have been coming forward with harrowing stories of how a medical error changed her life. For Brooks, it started sometime in 2017. She had a mysterious pain that would not go away. At first, she thought it might stem from a herniated disc in her back, numerous x-rays and CAT scans on her abdomen, pelvis over the few years, and everyone just kept telling her that everything was fine. All the doctors that I saw said, everything's fine. You're completely normal. But the pain persisted, and so in March of this year, the 39-year-old British Columbia school administrator went to a hospital ER in Fraser Valley, received another x-ray. When she contacted the hospital to get her records, she said she was horrified at what she saw in the x-ray image. Right over the hip bone, there was about a 2-inch-long bright white needle laying right over the top of the hip bone. In an email, she described how doctors were shocked and ordered more x-rays to confirm. When they looked through the record, she said they found that the broken needle had been visible in x-rays since 2017.
It's been visible and they haven't said anything.
It occurred during a surgery in 2017. She does not remember receiving a shot, but was in the hospital for 3 days and theorizes that a nurse or doctor had given her a shot for pain, broken off the needle, and then basically didn't say anything about it.
Damn.
So,
yeah, I mean, who wants to get in trouble?
Random, she won't notice.
I'll wait till she comes back and asks. Did you leave a needle in me?
Oh, yeah, we meant to get to you about that. Yeah. It keeps showing up in the x-rays and we just ignored it. Our bad. Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, liquor and board.
All right, Cody. Let's go with this one for you. When did your training, Cody, save the day? When did your training save the day?
Well, I had a guy. I didn't have training on this, but I was driving down a highway in West Texas, and I drove by him, and I thought he was looking underneath his truck, and I drove by about a half an hour later, and he was still looking like he was looking underneath his truck, so I decided to stop, and I got off the truck and decided to walk up to him and kind of approached him. I was like, hey, you know, I didn't want to freak him out. He didn't respond. He was purple. I got him out. I rolled him over. And he surely was dying. And I'll make a long story short, but a helicopter landed right there and he took him flight for life to a hospital.
What was wrong with him?
After searching him, I noticed he had a medical necklace on, and he just had a major heart surgery.
Oh.
And a stent had collapsed in his heart, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if he lived or died that day, but
did you try CPR? I mean, did you check for a pulse? Did you check to see if he was breathing?
Yeah, he was still breathing.
Okay,
you know, and he had a fat wad of cash on him. And it was just like, I'm not going to rob this guy.
But you wanted to.
All right.
How did you know?
It wasn't like he was holding his wallet and had his money spread out. How did you know he was so loaded with all this money?
Well, I had to search him, right? I mean.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I had to look for a phone number and I'm like, God damn, darn.
How much money do you think he had in his wallet? If you had to guess.
Probably a grand, if not more.
Okay.
Damn.
And I'll tell you what, we're out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Like, ain't nobody. Like, I could have grabbed it and just got my truck and left.
Were you the one who called? Were you the one who called for the helicopter, or they called the emergency services?
Absolutely, I was.
And how long did you wait before they arrived?
About a half an hour.
I was curious how long that flight would be.
We're way out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I didn't know where I was. Like, I had an idea. So that's what I told the dispatcher. I was like, this is where I think I am. And then about 10 minutes later, a state patrol showed up. And then finally, like, he wasn't really much help. I think I was more help than he was, but he had the radio to call a helicopter.
Sure. Okay. So was he conscious? Was he conscious at any of the time that you were with him?
Absolutely not.
No.
He had no idea.
Or not. Okay. I think that would eat me up not knowing what happened. You know what I mean? I would want to know.
Now, would you think yourself, if he passed, I could have taken his wallet and there would have been no problem.
Or stopped the first time. Maybe
right.
Some of that half an hour time would have,
I'm just saying, if you find out later, like, damn, $1,500 in a wallet and no one would ever know. Mm-hmm. But you did the right thing.
You sure did.
Me and my buddy, we talked about it afterwards. I was like, man, Benji had a lot of cash. I was like, I hope he survived. We looked in the paper.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If somebody said, hey, I'm going to rob you of $1,500, but I'm going to save your life, you'd be like, all right, take it.
Take it.
If he would have crashed his car, it would have been in the paper.
Sure.
If he just pulled over and then had a heart attack, whatever the hell, that's not going to show up.
Right. That's not newsworthy.
Exactly. Right? Damn. Reason we ask, when did your training save the day? A Tennessee assisted living facility faces hefty fines after two residents escaped in March, thanks to some military training. According to reports, Elmcroft Senior Living in Lebanon must pay $2,000 for failing to provide daily awareness for the whereabouts of two residents who briefly escaped from the place on March the 2nd. couple, a husband and wife team, who remain unnamed in public records, suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's disease. But they had their wits about them as the husband used his military training with Morse code to figure out the facility's electric lock code.
This is crazy to me.
The husband would listen as staff punched the code in. He was able to figure out the pattern. Well, he made a break for it with his wife, managing just 30 minutes of freedom before a stranger found... Sounds like they're in jail. Doesn't it sound like you get old? You get
apparently, there's
now you're locked in. You know
he
I mean?
Just doesn't want to be there. Yeah. You go to the story, you keep thinking it's like an abusive place. Generally speaking, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Couple was wandering for a couple blocks from the facility. Staff were meant to increase their check-ins with the husband starting in February after he displayed concerning habits, such as wandering about, repeatedly looking for a place to exit. He had scheduled times to walk outdoors to mitigate these habits, but it did little to deter his urge to escape. But they did make it out for about a half an hour, enjoying the day.
What's crazy about this story, this is an older guy, right? One of the things he suffered from was dementia. So you're not there 24 hours out of the 24 hours of the day, but he still had the presence of mind, based on his training, to listen to someone punch a computer code into the doors, figure out their codes, and get the hell out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any training that would help me in a set. Like, if I'm trapped somewhere, we're just trapped.
Right. That's and, like, it. For that guy, like, he still gets to go outside. It sounds like he just wanted to do it on his own time.
He did not want to be there. But as far as training goes, like, Miles and Mike, Ted, you maybe know CPR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I do not.
I don't either, right? So if someone were to, like, drop to the ground and they ask for help, like, you don't want to be the guy that says, look, man, I can't help you. I mean, but there's nothing I could do.
Yeah.
Not a damn thing. I mean, I could fake it. Like, yeah, give me chest compressions. I don't know what I'm doing. I can guess, but I only know what I've seen on TV. And generally, not the best guide.
I think the only time that I was kind of remotely close to this, I was a lifeguard at Boy Scout camp. I never had to go in and save anybody.
Right.
Never had that issue. Never had anybody drowned on me or anything like that. But
bragging.
I thought you were going to say, I never had to go in and save anybody.
I didn't.
Did lose one.
No, I mean,
lost one.
I just didn't go in.
I didn't go in.
It was a nice day. I was dry.
I pulled one kid out with a pole one day.
With a pole?
Yeah, you got about a 10-foot pole. Just grab the pole, kid. Yank his ass out. Oh, yeah. That's typical life-saving stuff. Yeah, without question. I mean, dude,
Wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to jump in as the lifeguard?
It depends. Man, I could throw a buoy over a shoulder from about 30 yards out, 40 yards out. I could rope one right over you, I mean, and pull it back. You know, you don't want to knock someone in the head. So you always throw over over the person and then bring the flotation device back toward them.
And as a lifeguard, the number of drowning people that you see, I mean, the pole suffices. They just need something to hold on to get themselves righted again.
Exactly.
Or drug over to the side of the
pole. Yeah,
you have to understand, because I picture you with the pole kind of like just pushing them to the wall. You know what I mean?
You put it on their shoulder, grab the pole, hold on, I'll pull your ass out. It's like a big PVC pipe.
All right.
Essentially, you know what I mean?
But anyway, I can do that.
Yeah, but I taught life-saving. So I trained this kid. He wasn't a kid. He was a couple years younger than me. But anyway, he ended up, I did not work the next year. I was done. That was my last year. And he became one of the guys who taught life-saving from that point on. And he worked at the lake, and he was a lifeguard the next year.
All right.
Now, he saved 3 kids that year who were drowning. So it wasn't like I did it.
How many years did you do it?
4.
In that time, not even really a threat of drowning besides pole kid.
Not really.
And then the next year, this dude saved 3.
I'll tell you what, man. It's harrowing. I know for a fact. My uncle, he was a lifeguard in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for 7 years.
All right.
He lost 3 swimmers in that time. And the Atlantic had some pretty bad riptides in that area.
I'd say the riptides?
He's still not past it.
Well, sure.
He's like, to this day, he is still not past it. If the day comes around, he remembers the day. He remembers the name. He remembers the... Because they eventually do get the person out of the water. You know what
right.
I mean? And they do bring the body in, and you do try to save someone's life. And it's just, you know, it's you and that person, and it's, you know, in his case, it was a couple kids. So it's like the whole idea of it just, it mentally has not escaped him. So I'm so happy that that did not happen to me, because I know how much that torments him to this day, and he's 70-some years old.
Was he a bad lifeguard?
He was.
Is that a fair question?
He was one.
I feel like on your resume.
I saw a picture of my uncle when he was 21 years old and he was a lifeguard, and I'm like, he looks like a machine.
Sure.
I mean, they would get up every morning and do ocean swims. I mean, they're up like a 4. It sounds like a glamorous life
to
be an ocean lifeguard. But really, I mean, if you go out to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, like, your ass is up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Right.
You're training before the beach opens. It's like military-grade crap.
That doesn't sound glamorous to me at all. Baywatch made it look glamorous.
The reality
of it, like, I'm bored and I'm hoping people don't die.
Your guess is as good as mine. Count out the categories. Delicious pizza and the 10 best Jimi Hendrix songs. You are listening to The Men's Room.